to 20 Minutes and 2 Beers In. I'm JD.
Hey, everybody. This is Bobby.
And episode 170, we're in season 4 here, and we missed a week, but we're back.
We are back. We are better than ever.
Really?
Really?
I don't know. Really? You're stealing a Mike and Mike there.
I know. I hate that, too, because he says that after, like, every commercial break. Yeah. Hey, we're back and better than ever. No, not. No. I guess, you know, I'm okay. Yeah. I don't know if I'm better. I'm doing okay.
we have some great stuff to talk about. For one, we've got a segment about alcohol. Speaking of
the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Bobby, beer is not just for breakfast anymore. what are you drinking there? That doesn't even look like beer.
It's not beer. It's we're recording on Friday, JD, celebrating the start of the weekend. So I've got myself an old fashioned.
Ooh, wow!
Yeah, I ventured into the world of old fashions this weekend. I buy them at, you know, at bars and restaurants, but I've never made one. And so this week I got the bitters. I got an orange. I got a bottle of bourbon, courtesy of you.
Yeah.
And so I tried my hand at old fashions. Let me tell you, buddy. These things go down pretty easy.
Yeah, they are tasty. They are dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah, last night I actually broke out the whiskey, you know, just a little whiskey with a whiskey stone. It was delightful. It was delightful. But today I'm drinking Gray Sail Brewing.
That looks like it's a really bright can.
Doesn't it look like a Lipton iced tea?
It does. I was like, is that a Fresca or that a Lipton iced tea? That would be one of them. You can disguise that in the park. That's what that means.
Yeah, exactly. Gray Sail Brewing Company of Rhode Island. It's their flagship ale. I was given this from some colleagues. It is their golden colored cream ale, offers a balance between malty sweetness and noble hot bitterness. This gold medal winner is the perfect session beer for any occasion.
Wow. All right.
So
you can drink it anywhere, as the Shasta can tells you. What's it taste? How's the flavor?
All that. And I'm just like,
hearty endorsement.
Yeah. I'm just not that much into cream ales. Yeah. We're not recording together, so I'll give you these, Bobby. You can taste them. See if you like them.
Oh, thanks. I always love it when you pass hand me down beer from you is always terrible. I always know that.
I will tell you this. At the next segment, I'll have a different beer to talk about because this is not going to cut it for me today.
It's not going to cut it. Well, it's going to be fitting for our next topic.
It is.
Because we've got some beer news. We've got lots of stuff going on in the world of beer right now.
Yeah, and it's actually a great time for beer and booze in Chicago. And so we're gonna talk about that, but the landscape of beer, alcohol, in a few different forms is changing, and it's changing really quickly. So we're gonna dive into that, and also it's summer movie season. So there's a few I'm pretty excited to see.
There's a few I'm not at all excited to see.
All right, well, I'm excited to hear what you come back with, but when we come back, I'm gonna have a new beer.
All right.
Stick around. Hey, I felt pity when they turned out the light. I didn't know just what was going on when all my guts were telling me to run. I stuck around when I should have been there with you. And after all that we lost, I swear I'll never let go. You and I both. Bobby, as expected, I'm back with better beer.
All right, what do you got?
This is Sly Fox from the Sly Fox Brewing Company. It's their Pikeland Pils craft brew from Pennsylvania. Pottstown, Pennsylvania.
Pottstown.
Light in body, refreshingly dry on the palate. It's a multi-award winner. That didn't do well for the last one.
I was going to say, the last one was a gold medal winner.
That's
beer. Okay, good. All right.
It's a traditional German Pilsner.
Yeah.
Good stuff. But, Bobby, I've got to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time you drank a macro brew?
A macro brew? I would say probably at your place playing poker. I think I probably had a Miller Lite.
That was a while ago.
Yeah.
And you didn't bring them. It was just left over.
No, it was just, it happened to be there at the time. So I gave it a good home.
Is that kind of the trend?
Yeah, I don't think I drink macro brews. I don't know the last time I've bought one in a bar. Scratch that, buddy. I am way off on this one. I drank a macro brew this week.
Oh.
I was at I went to a concert. I went to Petty Fest on Wednesday, which was freaking amazing, by the way. But beforehand, I was at Full Shilling right next to the Metro, and their special was $2 Coors Lights. So I had a number of Coors Lights, JD.
I feel bad for you, Bobby. I feel bad for you.
I did not feel bad the next day. Coors Lights, I'm used to Coors Lights. As a Broncos fan, drinking a Colorado beer.
Yeah, you're used to drinking that water. But we stumbled across an article recently about how macro brews are doing, and it's not good news for those people.
Yeah, well, to prove that we could read, JD, both you and I, sometimes there's questions. We talk an awful lot about sports and TV, so people wonder. We went and we saw this article online. We always check out highbrow magazines such as The Atlantic, and The Atlantic had the State of American Beer, which it ran through some of the interesting numbers that's going on in beer sales. Now, beer sales, as we talked about, I think we talk about this almost every year, what's going on in the world of beer. This is our State of the Union of Beer, as it were, JD. Nobody should be surprised to hear that beer sales have been in the steady decline in the past few years because more people are, there's a lot more, like we've talked to Mississippi River Distillery, there's a lot more craft whiskey, vodka makers, that's rising. Wine, obviously, has been rising. So that's why beer loses its share. But the macro brew is in trouble, and the micro brew is just going gangbusters, JD.
Nice.
Every single macro brew in the top macro in the top domestic beers went down, with the exception of three of them. Okay, and I think this was the top 10. Only three of them actually made gains. The rest all dropped, and pretty significant numbers. But when it came to craft beer, JD, the top 10, every single one of them except for one rose, and the rise was insane. Like Lagunitas, which just opened its doors in Chicago brewing, they bumped up 84.9% rise in their sales.
In 1 year.
In 1 year. Sam Adams is the top craft beer.
It's hard to consider that craft, isn't it? I know, but...
They've been making such big gains. They gained 12%, a 12% bump in sales from the previous year. Sierra Nevada, 11%. New Belgium Brewery, 10%. Shiner, 10%.
Nice.
Yeah, Deschutes, who you drank, I think, last episode, 13.7%. Red Hook, 10%. Kona, 27%. Stone Brewery, 39%. The only loss was Widmer, which went down in 5.3%. But their loss is going to be another craft beer's gains.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think we're, with all these craft beers, and we'll get to craft liquor in a little bit, but with all these craft beers, do you think there's a saturation point we're hitting where there's just, you go in there, it's a wall of craft beer, it's just too much?
I absolutely think there is. I think we're getting to the moment, and it could be, it might not be next year. It'll probably be in the next at least 5 years, I think, JD, where you're so flooded, you don't know what to buy. And so everybody's sales are kind of matched out. It's kind of like the, too many of one political party running for the same office. Somebody's going to get their votes diluted and they're not going to win. So you're going to have some breweries that are not going to be as successful, not get a good launch that might have otherwise gotten a good launch this year or the year previous because it's saturated. I mean, look at what Chicago's doing. Chicago, not only did Lagunitas open up, but we've got, I think, four new breweries that opened here recently, and there's more breweries that are being planned. Yep. So,
like our friends from Bader Brau, who we talked to, they're building a you know, their operations here. They're up in Wisconsin right now, but it's a Chicago brew, and they're building it here. More people are doing it, and you know, I love beer. There's only so much you can do too. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden a lot of it's starting to taste the same. Mm-hmm. You know, it's everybody has their version of a daisy cutter. You know, yeah. I will drink them all. Don't get me wrong, but it is interesting. Craft Beer Week is coming up here in Chicago, and we're still trying to connect with somebody there to talk about it. But it's amazing how that has grown. Do you remember when you know, just a few years ago when Craft Beer Week was, you know, catching fire here, we talked about it, the number of participating bars mm-hmm. that take part in that. It's mm-hmm. incredible. You know, everybody touts they've got, you know, craft brew on tap. Well, you know what? That's not a big deal anymore.
Yeah.
But what could be a big deal, Bobby, is Palcohol. Powdered alcohol. And I know many of you may have read this. It did catch my interest. You can sprinkle it on your cheeseburger. You can put it on your spaghetti.
Yeah.
You can mix it in with some water. You can just take a little pouch of alcohol into the game with you instead of spending, you know, $8-$10 a beer. You got to mix. Excuse me. You got to mix drink.
Sort of like your Kool-Aid.
It is like the Mio or whatever that stuff is, but powdered Mio. So it's your Tang.
Yeah.
but it had passed here in the States, passed the FDA, I believe. And then all of a sudden they're like, whoa. Or no, the fire, tobacco, alcohol. Isn't that the group it passed?
I think the alcohol, tobacco, tax and trade, something. Something. Yeah,
it passed, but then all of a sudden they're like, "Whoa, wait, no, we didn't mean it."
They're saying it was some label issues, but now people are coming out saying, "Well, is it going to be a health risk? What's going on with the alcohol?" It's an interesting idea. They do have, they've been doing interesting things with trying to get kind of mobile drinking, for the past couple of years, like pocket shots. They were a kind of a fad that tried to catch on. It only ended up being Texas that has them. I don't even know that they're legal in all states either. But what a weird way to do what?
What's pocket shots?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're not familiar with pocket shots?
I am not. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it's like, I guess it's just a little bag, like a little bag that you can hold in your hand, like the size of a hand warmer, and it's filled with booze. And you just slice it open with a pair of scissors or bite it open, and you can down a shot.
Wow.
Yeah, I had them a couple of years ago, and here's why. One of my friends who was a lawyer was, I guess, trying to help them get them passed. And so he had a number of them, as trial things, you know, testers. And so I tried a couple pocket shots with you, JD. And let me tell you, the quality... not there. I think there's a reason why it might have been legalized in some states, but it just didn't sell in those states, JD.
Oh, man. Yeah, that does not sound, I don't know. Something about, like, just have a nice warm shot in your pocket.
Well, would you trust a guy that comes up to you and hands you, like, hey, you want a drink, and hands you this warm, like, Ziploc baggie to drink out of?
Hands you the equivalent of a ketchup packet. No, thank you. I'm all right. But it is a big deal in the fact they're trying to push the alcohol through. I my opinion, we don't need it. I enjoy drinking my beverages.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. To me, it's not necessary, and it just encourages underage drinking.
Well, that's definitely true. But you also look at if you're going to be getting alcohol, how much money is it really going to be? How much cheaper is it going to be from something else you can buy in the liquor store?
Well, that's true. That's true. Could you imagine, sir? Do you know why I pulled you over? No, why? How many drinks do you have? I didn't have any. I had a cheeseburger.
I just these are just pop rocks, officer. I don't know what you're talking about.
Gosh, it's crazy the way that's going, and I know. And speaking of craft, it is Whiskey Fest right now here in Chicago, and our friends Ryan and Garrett of Mississippi River Distilling Company. We need them as a sponsor. We gotta work on that, Bobby.
That'd be nice.
But they're here in Chicago for that, and that thing has blown up. I tried to get tickets early; it sold out like immediately.
Yeah, it's one day only. Great stuff, great drinks, and the high end stuff that they have there just it makes your mouth water, JD.
Well, I think it's like $100 too.
Yeah,
for a pass, and you know you can you know I'm sure there's tastings of some sort, but next year, Bobby, we gotta go. But it's just another sign that you know the craft, you know, it's not just craft beer. It's not you know these new unique alcohol things, but you know like our friends Ryan and Garrett, it is blowing up, and the landscape has totally changed from five years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You went to a liquor store and your choices weren't much. Now, like you said earlier, it's overwhelming, and it'll be interesting when it hits the saturation point what happens. But Bobby, it's time for music. You need to start us off. What do you got?
Well, JD, I'm in the cover kind of mood since I was at Petty Fest, which was a Tom Petty like cover show in Chicago. It was thebestfest.com. It's awesome. It only comes to a few towns like New York, LA, Seattle. Anyways, it came to Chicago this year, so I'm in a cover sort of mood. This is a cover by Illinois band, Chicago band, Local H. They're going on tour this summer, and they did a cover of Lorde doing her song Team.
I love summer movies. I'm not going to lie. I love them. Even though the older I get, and I'm not very old, but the older I get, the more I'm just like, that's awesome. I'll probably see one or two at the movie theater at best, and then I'll catch them all on demand, that's just the way a lot of people are now, I think.
Yeah.
But there are some summer movies that I'm excited about, and one of them kind of surprised me that I liked the first one.
Really?
Yes. I'm looking forward to what? 22 Jump Street.
Really? 22 Jump Street.
Did you see
when does that come out?
It comes out, here, I'll get you the date. Did you see the first one?
I did not.
Oh, really?
Jonah Hill and what? Channing Tatum.
Yeah. And I can't stand Channing Tatum, but he was really good in it. June 13th.
Okay. That's the first one you're looking forward to?
Yes. What about you?
I will tell you what I'm excited about a number of these. The first one I'm really excited about is May 9th, Neighbors with Seth Rogen. You're giving me a wince look.
That's one that, and we're going to throw some that we're not looking forward to. That one I think is just a recipe for disaster. Zach Efron or Efron Aspirin, whatever his name is.
Is that what you need to take to watch him?
And I like Seth Rogen, but nope. I think that's going to be bad. I think that's, I hope it would be good. You know, another one that is some people are excited about that I think is going to be bad is Tammy. You haven't heard of this?
Tammy, I have heard of, and Melissa McCarthy's next venture, right? July 2nd.
Melissa McCarthy, Susan Sarandon, and Dan Aykroyd.
Ooh, Dan Aykroyd making a return to the silver screen.
Yeah, it just doesn't look very good to me. It's, you know, it's the oddball pair. I don't know. It just doesn't look good.
You know, it was written by her and her husband, and her husband you've seen in, you know, her most of her movies. He makes an appearance, and he's a comedian as well.
Right.
I'm actually looking forward to that one, JD. I don't know that it's on my top list. It's not in my top list, but comedy wise, I like Melissa McCarthy. What she does, I think she can carry this. I think she can carry a movie, and this is one that she can definitely do. I mean, did you see The Heat with her?
It was good. It was good. I liked it. Yeah.
All right.
What are you excited for?
This one, it's kind of a sleeper. I don't know that it's going to make a lot of money, but I love the chemistry of the two main stars. Let's Be Cops. Comes out August 13th. Jake Johnson, Damon Wayans Jr., both from New Girl. I feel like Jake Johnson can form chemistry with anybody. He's the guy that we should have on the podcast because he's a guy that you could just walk over to the bar. If he's sitting at the bar by himself, he'd strike up a conversation, and by the next 10 minutes, you'd be best friends with the guy.
Yeah.
He's just that. He's that funny. He's that everyman character. And Let's Be Cops is where they dress up for Halloween as cops or for a party, and the neighborhood, like, people really like it, so they keep doing it. And then they get into a series of hijinks ensue, JD.
Yeah, that's on my list. I'm excited to see that one because I love Jake Johnson. Even though he kind of plays the same character and everything he's in, that's just who he is. Yes,
that's fair, yeah.
I'm excited to see Guardians of the Galaxy. Chris Pratt is in that. It's another one of the Marvel films. I mean, it's a lot of Marvel films and and, you know, superhero movies, but this one looks really intriguing. I saw the previews of it. Chris Pratt right now is just hot. He is in
he's everywhere.
Lot of stuff. Yeah. But this, to me, it comes out August 1st. I'm excited. It looks really good to me. What looks bad? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Mm.
Why?
You know, what? A movie that was made, I guess it's 20 years old now. I don't know that you need to remake a movie that's only 20 years old.
They're remaking movies that are a year old.
That's true.
The Hulk and then The Incredible Hulk came out.
Well, and we're getting a Spider-Man 2. Didn't we already have a Spider-Man 2?
No, this is
the amazing Spider-Man. Yeah, like, come on.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Another sequel that I got to say, JD, I don't know, you're probably going to be booing me on this one. The Expendables 3 comes out at the end of August.
I'm not saying it's great cinema, but it's fun. They've already got the line. They're building lineup for Expendables 4. Hulk Hogan sign on.
Oh, no.
Yes. Terry Hogan.
Terry Bollea.
Oh, yes.
Sorry. Come on. Come on, man.
Yeah. It's not good cinema, Bobby, but it's fun. It's thoughtless, mindless, just blowing stuff up.
It's just weird to see Sylvester Stallone and what procedure he's had to keep him propped upright.
Yeah.
Like, who's had more, like, who do you think has had more work to keep them alive? Sylvester Stallone or Mick Jagger?
I put Mick Jagger more in the Mickey Rourke category.
Similar drug use.
Sylvester Stallone, man, I put him in the Steven Tyler.
Okay.
Yeah, he's alive. He's done some decent things in his life, but he looks a little rough for the wear.
Either way, we know they're all cockroaches. They would survive a nuclear blast.
Yes, right? Yes, and they wouldn't get a wrinkle doing it. This one is going to surprise you. I want this movie to be good, but I think it's going to be bad. A Million Ways to Die in the West. Seth MacFarlane's new movie with Charlize Theron and Liam Neeson. It's a Western, and just the previews just seemed unfunny to me.
Is it a Western comedy, or is it like a spaghetti Western?
No, it's a comedy.
Okay.
But you know, Seth MacFarlane stars in it as, you know, he plays a character in it. Like, he's on camera, which we're
not used
to. That'll
be weird to see. Yeah, it'll be weird to see him on camera.
It just doesn't look good. I think it... And I like Ted. And they're making a Ted 2, I guess.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, but man, this does not look good to me.
JD, I'm really excited about seeing Wish I Was Here, which was Zach Braff's Kickstarter movie. He had a Kickstarter campaign. It's his follow-up to Garden State. Also in it's Kate Hudson, Mandy Patinkin, Jim Parsons. A lot of really good actors and actresses are in it. That comes out... I don't have it written down, so I can't tell you.
But it comes out this summer.
It comes out this summer, and I think it'll be a really cool movie. I like his ideas. Like, he's a very creative individual, and it'll have an awesome soundtrack. Garden State did, Scrubs did, and Zach Braff was a big influence on that. Big music guy, so you know the music will be good. JD, I'm not at all excited about, and I feel bad because there's been a number of movies by this guy that have just been bad. Blended, Adam Sandler, and Drew Barrymore. It's their third film together. They did 50 First Dates, The Wedding Singer. Now they're playing single parents who go on a blind date. They find out they don't like each other, and then they get stuck on a family vacation in Africa together. And hijinks ensue. That's... I feel like he's stretching with some of his movie ideas.
Yeah, I agree. And it's... I feel like he's got the Eddie Murphy syndrome. Eddie Murphy made some hilarious, raunchy, fun movies, and then it just petered out. Then he started doing more family things, and you know, Pluto Nash. It didn't go well for Eddie.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sandler's best when he stays on the fringe, when he stays out there with either really raunchy comedy or stuff that's kind of out there a little bit, like the Punch Drunk Love, the stuff that's really kind of out there, which I know it wasn't written by him. But then you go with the really raunchy stuff. I thought That's My Boy was good at pushing. It was finally okay. He's crass again. And it was good. I was happy to see him return to that. Going back to the family role, you're right, man. It's not him. It doesn't suit him.
Right. Oh, exactly. There's one family movie that I'm looking forward to. It's called Sex Tape with Jason Segel and Cameron Diaz. I'm not a big Cameron Diaz fan.
I'm not either. She sucks.
Yeah, and Rob Corddry. But Segel can carry it, I think.
Yeah, Segel's great.
And it basically, they make a sex tape to spice up their stalled love life, and he accidentally sends it everywhere. It looks funny. It really does. And his comedic timing is wonderful. So I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah. JD, I'm not looking forward to another Planet of the Apes movie. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
You know, the last remake they did with Planet of the Apes, the CGI was so terrible that I thought when I first saw it, it was on TV. And I thought it was a sci-fi Sci-Fi Network movie.
You're talking about the James Marsden one?
James Franco.
James Franco. Yeah.
I thought that it seemed like it was network TV produced it because the CGI was that bad.
Ooh.
It was almost laughable. So there's no reason to make another one. Don't do it. Why? Again, remakes. You got so many great independent ideas out there that you could go with. You don't need to remake something and remake it badly.
Yeah, I'm with you, Bobby. I am looking forward to the summer movie season. The bad thing is there's so many of the fall and winter movies I still haven't seen.
Yeah.
So it could be interesting when I finally get around to seeing these. But
so what you're saying is regardless, you will be about the summer, how many movies you're going to see in the theater, you're still going to be somewhere air-conditioned where you can watch movies, maybe just in the comfort of your own home.
Exactly. That's why I bought a big TV. time for my music, and this one is kind of a great bluesy guitar, great song. The group is called Left Lane Cruisers. It's from the Slingshot album, and the song is Rollin'.
Yeah, we roll.
six-pack of questions, random questions we post to each other, and you lost the coin toss backstage.
Backstage.
So you get to go first.
Oh, great. JD, have you seen this new Nike shoe by Ryan McLemore? Or, wait, what's his name? McLemore. Just McLemore. I'm thinking Ryan Lewis.
Ryan Lewis.
McLemore got to make his own Nike shoe, and it's called the Northwest King Salmon. It's an all-pink shoe, and already people are just blasting it for its looks. People say it looks like a dead fish.
Oh.
Never a good thing to say about somebody's shoe. What's the worst shoe concept that you think you've ever seen by an athlete or celebrity?
Worst shoe concept.
Mm-hmm.
They did the Metallica Vans not long ago. And I'm not a big Vans guy. I've owned some Vans. They're just not comfortable to me. But there was no need for... Okay, you want Metallica Vans? They're just black. You don't need faces on there. You don't need the band name.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty poor. Speaking of pretty poor, Bobby, the Denver Broncos.
Oh, come on.
Average more than 2,800 fans per practice during training camp the last 2 years. That's a lot of people coming to see what's going on. And it actually, one of the higher attended training camps. They're done. Not doing it. Did you hear about this?
I did not. Say this?
They will not let people see the fans. Or the fans see the practice. Yeah. Practice at Sports Authority Field is where they're going to have the practices now. They're not going to have it at the team headquarters because renovations are going on, right?
Okay.
And so fans will only get to see three practices. They're going to miss out on a lot of seeing the Broncos.
Yeah.
You know what? How my question for you is this. I understand you've got renovations that you're doing. Do them another time. This is your season. I think this is poor timing. Do you agree?
While you brought this up, I pulled it up actually, and they're doing a $35 million facelift on their complex. Now, I mean, I don't see that's a pretty big bummer because they do get a lot of fans. The fans absolutely love going out there. And the radio stations are out there, reporters are out there. It's a great summertime event. They could have easily moved it to a college, and that college would have welcomed them with open arms, and that probably would have been a better PR move. JD, I'm pretty surprised. You would think they would have thought this one out. I think it's a bad move. I do, and I'm disappointed by the team for that. JD, did you hear about this guy in Iowa who's made it his goal in life to collect every single VHS copy of the movie Speed? He even started a Kickstarter campaign to get donations so that he could get all these copies of the movie Speed. He said it started as a prank or a joke a couple years ago. Now he just, every time he goes out, he tries to buy as many copies as he can. If he sees them out there, he has to buy them. He's had people send them to him from Japan. He tries to buy them online, but he says some of the costs are a little prohibitive, shipping costs and all that. If you had a goal in life,
to buy up
every VHS of one film, what film would it be?
Fletch.
Ah.
I mean, Fletch is, to me, it came at such a great time growing up when I finally saw that, and it's so funny to me. Fletch is it, hands down, although I was tempted to say Princess Bride, but I'm going to go with Fletch. Love Fletch.
JD, I bet you if you go over to Chevy Chase's house, probably 1,000 copies right there, maybe unopened.
That would be great. That would be great. Just to hang out with Chevy and pop those in his, I bet he's got a fancy VHS player.
He's got a fantastic one.
Oh my gosh. With a nice projection, from the back TV. Oh, Bobby, the Cubs had their 100th anniversary of Wrigley Field, right?
Yeah.
it's not just one day. It's all season long that they're doing this, which, okay, whatever.
Got to get the fans in the stadium somehow. You don't have a quality product. You got to do something else.
They haven't had a quality product since 84. So they're rolling out all of these old players. Dawson came out. I don't know if you saw this, which was exciting to see. But just all these historic people who've played at Wrigley Field.
Ditka there for some reason, because I don't believe Ditka. Well, no, Ditka played there with the Bears. I'm sorry. I was thinking he wasn't that long ago, but that's right. He did play.
Ditka and Gale Sayers were there. Yeah. And people who really made Cubs history.
Feel like I know where you're going here.
Their home run leader, all-time home run leader.
Asterisk.
There's no asterisk. There's no asterisk in the record books. Sammy Sosa wasn't there.
Yeah.
Didn't even get invited.
Yeah.
Was that a mistake by the Cubs?
No, they still haven't cleared the air. And I know it's a different regime from when he was last there, but he's kind of been demanding with the team. I think they're still a little... I don't think they're happy with the way things ended with him and the way he's been towards the Cubs since his retirement from the game of baseball. I think his ego is a big problem, and you've got the Cubs who look at what they do, look at how they treat the team and stuff. That's ego, too. So you've got two huge egos battling each other out, and it's only going to budge when one of them, which is going to be the slightly smaller ego of Sammy Sosa, he's got to make amends. He's got to be the one that makes the pilgrimage, go to the ballpark, sit in the bleachers with the fans, get the fans back behind you, and then if the fans are behind you, they'll bring you to the ballpark, because the fans mean money, JD. That's all it's going to take. Roger Goodell, and he keeps saying things this summer that just really blow my mind, and this one did too. Talking about the NFL draft, they were talking about how it was moved to May because of scheduling conflicts, and he's not sure when they're gonna do it next year. There's been an article on Pro Football Talk about draft fatigue because it's been it's gonna go 2 weeks past when we're usually. Then he says that the draft, they might do at a fourth day for the draft. They might spread it out instead of, first it was 2 days, then it was 3 days, now they might be doing 4 days, JD. How big of a mistake is it to do a fourth day for the draft?
I thought it was a mistake to do a third day for the draft, and I'm such a draft fan. I love sitting and watching, and you know me, I've got my first round mock draft ready to go to see how I stack up against McShay and Kuiper. Mm-hmm. I think it's a bad move. If you're going to go back to 9 rounds, okay, maybe that extra day, but I think it's a horrible move. Not long ago, Mark Cuban came out and said the NFL is basically shooting themselves in the foot. They're getting too big for their britches type of thing. And this is one example of how they are. You've got an amazing product. Don't F with it. I mean, top to bottom, I'm talking rules. You know, they're talking about getting rid of the extra points. You know, they've moved, you know, the kickoff back and forth. They're going to add potentially extra playoff teams, maybe get rid of some of the... Don't mess with it.
Yeah.
It's not broken. It's the best thing in sports. Don't F with it. Man, I'm bitter. speaking of the Cubs 100th, we were talking about just a little bit ago. They did some great things for it, Bobby. They did some awesome stuff at the stadium. You know, they had a celebration. You know, they had a big cake made by Cake Boss.
Yep.
It took 6 days to make this replica of Wrigley. This thing was huge. It was beautiful. It was a cake. So you eat the cake, right, Bobby?
I know where you're going with this one as well.
They found the cake in the dumpster. In a dumpster. It didn't make it to the banquet. There's a banquet there it was supposed to go to. Nope. In the dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby, is this another display by the Cubs?
Well, I would say I would not have eaten any part of that cake, JD, because it sat outside all day outside of Wrigley Field for the fans to see with a rope around it. An exposed cake that's been sitting out all day is not something that I want to, that I'm interested in trying, JB.
But don't eat it. Don't eat it. Bring it to the celebration. Spackle it.
Spackle it.
And you're good to go. That's oh, man. I think you know, the Cubs made a mistake. But, Bobby, we're getting close to the station.
Tell me how you really feel.
I know, right? When we come back, last call, one stop away.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Closing. Time for odd news in the last call, one stop away. What do you have for us, Bobby?
Well, there's a new hangover cure, and I don't know how new this really is, JD, but it was discussed. The brewer of Sam Adams, founder, Jim Koch, did an interview with Esquire, and he talked to them about, he told the interviewer about a secret way that he's always used to stay sober, but despite drinking all day. He says he gets active yeast, like the Fleischmann's packet of yeast, like you would get if you were making bread at home. He says he eats 1 teaspoon of it per beer right before he starts drinking. He says usually he mixes it with some yogurt so that it doesn't give him the bad flavor.
Okay.
And here's why it works. Here's what he says works. He says he learned it from a friend a long, long time ago. And he said that the enzymes in active dry yeast break down alcohol molecules, and it's similar to how the liver metabolizes alcohol. So when you get the yeast, the active yeast in your stomach, it begins breaking down the alcohol before it even reaches your liver.
But does it get, hit my bloodstream? Am I going to feel the effects of the alcohol?
No. It will only, it will mitigate, not eliminate, the effects of alcohol. So it'll you can basically, what they're saying is you can drink a lot. You're still going to eventually get drunk, but you're not going to feel like you usually would. Now, you're still going to have a hangover probably the next day. Yeah. But,
you know, very alcohol-filled podcast we have today. I don't know. It seems hokey to me. Seems hokey. I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like when he says that, there's going to be a bunch of doctors now that are flocking to the TV and the print that'll be like, no, don't do it, or something. There's going to be a lot of talk about this, I feel like.
Well, while we're on the topic of beer, Bobby, mine comes from Australia, and Victoria Bitter Beer is a beer people drink in Australia. It's a pretty decent beer. I think we might have even had it on the podcast.
I think we have.
Well, two Australian men were able to stop a savage dog attack on a 90-year-old woman with beer. The woman, she was in critical condition after it, but it could have been a lot worse. A pit bull terrier of her daughter's attacked her, and it would have been a lot worse except Justin and Jacob stepped in. They were on their way to Good Friday dinner when they saw the canine with a vice-like grip on the woman. We thought the screaming was a fight or something. Did a light jog around the corner to see the dog had basically chewed the lady's face off.
Whoa. Dude's like, you were a little too excited about that, James.
I've never seen so much blood, the one guy says. I gave my son the six-pack I was carrying and told him to stay back, but the dog was going crazy. I was hitting it, but I had nothing. So I told my son to give me the beer, and I just hit him with the beer. Well, then it came, hit it with the rest of the six-pack. Six bottles of Victoria Bitter were able to use, or able to subdue the dog. Now, kind of a sad story, you know, but they used the beer, you know, so kind of fitting. But here's the quote that makes it worthwhile. My dad was a bit upset because it was his six-pack, the younger one said. I mean, it's all good. I'll buy him a case and all, but it was dad's beer. So you saved a woman's life, and you're bitter about losing your Victoria's Bitter. So, yeah, it's kind of funny because I'm like, that's the last thing I'd be thinking. Are you okay? Oh, my gosh. Not, oh, lost my six-pack.
Do you think this guy's going to be getting some sponsorship offers from Mad Dog 2020?
Ooh, is that even around anymore?
I might have imbibed one about 2 years ago at an NCAA viewing party, my friend. So,
ooh, I was going to say Red Dog. I don't even know if that's still around.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if that one is either, but you know what? They can come back. This guy is a perfect advertising champion right now.
That he is. That he is. Well, it's been a fun-filled podcast, and where can people hit us up, Bobby?
On Twitter, at @2beersin, that's the number 2beersin. Obviously, you should be liking us, following us on Facebook. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and email the show, 20minutes2beersin@gmail.com.
Wonderful. And hit us up also if you're going to Craft Beer Week, you went to Whiskey Fest, saw some things that are interesting, let us know. We'd be curious to hear. So
we'll talk about it on the show.
With that, we will see you next week.
How's the flavor?
Eh.